Well, tonight, I want us to be over in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. We have here in Luke chapter 15, we have the Pharisees right here. They're mumbling. We have a bunch of Pharisees today because they're always murmuring about this and about that. And a whole lot of what they are murmuring about is about the Word of God. Because of what they hear, they don't like. Because they say they don't understand it. I brought it out this morning where a whole lot of people said that they don't understand the King James Bible. Well, they'll never be able to understand the King James Bible until they've got the heart and the life right with God. That is the only way that they'll ever be able to understand it. Because it's not by man's wisdom that we understand it. It's not by man's intelligence the reason we understand it. But it's all by the grace of God, which teaches us what the Bible says. That's the reason they murmur, because they don't want no one to tell them what they need to know. They don't want no one to tell them in which way to worship. They don't want nobody to tell them any way to live. But this book right here is our individual manual for life. When I first came from my mother's womb, and from that day forward, I started writing my biography. 30 years of my biography was nothing about me. And about the devil and what I wanted to happen in my own life. But that's not the type of biography that I need to leave. I don't need to leave that type of book here for my daughter to be able to come and look in a casket and say, well, he knew the Bible. He knew this and he knew that. And allow somebody else to come by and says, he lived a pretty good life. No. If they can't come by my casket and say to themselves, there is a true man of God. Then if they can't say that about me, or about you, then what they need to do is just come up and visit and not say a word. Not to say a word, well, how good they look. Well, I've never seen an individual that's laying in a casket that's not breathing, that cannot speak and cannot hear. What's good about that? They've had man to give them all the makeup that they need, to take the blemishes and all the stuff out of their face where you've seen this or you've seen that. But they had somebody there to make it up, to cover it up. you're Christian, if you're true born again Christian, you cannot cover yourself up enough to where people could come by and say, well, I don't know what in the world he was doing going to church because I don't understand it. No, hey, we need to live the right life. We need to live the kind of life that's pleasing. Not unto the pastor, not unto the church members, not unto the deacons, not unto the Sunday school teachers, but we need to live the life that is pleasing to God the Father. And if we're pleasing God the Father, then we know that we're pleasing His Son. But a whole lot of times we don't want to do that. People today, they don't want to do that. They don't want to hear the truth anymore. Why? Because they're murmuring. We have too many Pharisees in the churches today. If they don't get their way, what happens? Well, then, you know, I've been going to church for 20 years now. And you know, they don't consider my feelings. They don't consider that I hurt. They don't consider none of all that. But what they've got to remember, what they have got to remember, is what they was doing in their life. The reason that people won't give them an opportunity in church. Somebody comes and joins the church here and comes down and says, and they make a profession of faith and say, they say they got saved at such and such church or under such and such tree, and they've been baptized and all of that. But if they cannot feel like that they can come into church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, then they don't have no place in office. They don't have no place in the church to where we can depend on. Why? Because they're here this week. Are they going to be here next week? Are they going to be here the next business meeting that we have? Are they going to be here? Why? No, they just murmur. That's all they want to do. Bunch of Pharisees, a bunch of babies is all they are. That's what a Pharisee is a baby. Is a baby. Sucking on a pacifier. One of these days I'm gonna order me a case of pacifiers. And I'm gonna just pass them out. I wanna see how many people will just take them. Suck on that pacifier for me. Why? Because they want to be pacified. I'm not here to pacify nobody. I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus. And that is to where people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, and then after they get saved, then that's where we come in as a body of Christ. We come in to where we call them. And we will check on them. And when we check on them, we just let them know that we missed them. We don't have to go into, well, you know that when you joined the church, what you said. You said that you're going to be faithful to the church. You said you're going to be faithful in all things. You said that you're going to be faithful in your tithes and your offerings. You say you're going to be faithful. You're going to be here at the church. Where are you? Where are they at now? Are they in Martinsville? Sitting on the bench there at Martinsville watching the race? The race did not save them. Where are they at? Are you in the world?
But you know what? One day is coming. And when it comes, all the opportunities they've ever had, like I said this morning, is going to be gone. The murmuring of the Pharisees. And then you have the verses 3 down through 7, you have the parable of the lost sheep. It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I say unto you, thou likewise, there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner coming forward and repenting of thy sin and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into thy heart, to save thy soul, and to be the Lord of thy life. You also have the parable of the lost coin. And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And then we have in the parable of the lost son. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. The misery of the far country. The misery outside of the will of God. The misery away from the family of God. The people that is not in church tonight knows that they need to be in church tonight. They are miserable. They are miserable. You can say anything you want to, but deep down in their heart and deep down in their soul, they are miserable. Why? Because they know that they need to be in the house of God. Hey, what few times I've missed church here because of my problem that was going on. When I was stayed out and when I was at home and when my wife come down here, I was miserable. Because I wanted to be here. But I couldn't. I was miserable. But I knew I also had the opportunity to stay home and to rest, to get my legs to where I can start walking a little better again. And then where I can be back at church on Wednesday night. Then when I come to church on Wednesday night, oh yes, I can get up here, I can preach, I can run around, I'll do all of that. But yet when I leave, my legs is just as weak as it was on Sunday when I wasn't here. But did that stop me from coming? No. Sickness, people dwell on sickness today too much. If we dwell on sickness, we're going to be sick. If we're going to dwell on, woe is me, what's going to happen? Pity me party's coming. Woe is me. We don't need to look at that. We need to say, Lord,
I want to be in church tonight. Lord, would you please just ease the pain? Just ease something to where I can get in my automobile and I can go to church. And I can be able to sit down on the pews. Can you just ease the pain a little bit? Oh yes, he'll ease the pain. We may not think about it in that way, but when we come to church, and it's happened to me so many times, I'd be here and I could be here in this church or some other church. And yes, when I left the house, I was hurting. I either had a headache, stomach ache, or whatever. But I still went to church. And when I went to church, when I sat down on the pew, just as soon as the song service started, just as soon as the service started, my mind got off of me. My mind did not dwell on my headache. My mind did not dwell on my stomach ache. My mind didn't dwell on my legs being weak. Why? Because they were singing about someone that I love. Singing about somebody I love. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd be sitting now, and I'd lift up my holy hands, and I'd wave to God, and I'd say, amen. The next thing I know, I ain't got no headache. Stomach was not hurting. My legs don't feel as weak as they did. Why? I took my mind off of my problem and off of my circumstances. Put him on the blessings of the Lord. That the Lord has a blessing there for me to receive. The Lord has a blessing for everyone that wants to come out to church. Right now, I can say this, and I'm going to use myself as an example. This Wednesday afternoon, coming Wednesday afternoon, my intentions is coming to church. My intentions are being here at church. But if I allow a headache to keep me from church, or if I allow my back or my stomach or my legs or something like that to keep me from coming to church, then the blessing that God has there in heaven that was going to bless me Wednesday afternoon, if I'm not here, I cannot receive that blessing. Some people say, oh yes you can. Don't you think God knows where you live? Yeah. God knows exactly where I live. But God also wants us to be in church. God wants us always to be growing in Him. And if I lose that blessing, it's never to be regained anymore. I can come back Sunday. Hey, and the Lord blesses me Sunday. I don't know what blessing that I missed out on. Just maybe Sunday morning, He gave me that blessing. But I don't know. I don't know if that blessing was for Wednesday night or Sunday. We should never get to the point in our Christian life to where we can say, I don't want to go to church today because I feel so bad. I'm tired. People do it all the time. All the time.
Here in verse 14, the misery of the far country. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain or be a glutton, or he would just be that man. He would just be right down there where they at. He would get in the hog pen. Where the hog pen was, that where he would go and feed each and every day. Now, I'm just going by what I read and everything, but I'm going by, and what I'm going to say now, I'm going by when my grandmother, when she had the old farmhouse right there, before Goodyear come to Danville, she had a farmhouse, and my granddaddy, they raised hogs, they raised cattle, they raised mules, they raised chickens, they raised dogs. They raised any kind of animal. And on the back porch, there was a 55-gallon drum. Where when you took up the scraps off of the table, you did not take them up and scrape them and put them in the trash. You took them and you put them in that barrel. Then when you put them in that barrel, and when it got thick enough, then you'd add a little water to it. What did the individuals at home had to do? They had to go back there, and they had to get them a 5-gallon bucket. And then they had to get them a 1-gallon bucket and dip down in it and get that slop. That's what they call a slop. And they pour in a 5-gallon bucket. Then they would go and they would take it down to the hog pen, where they had the trough right there. And they would pour it over in the trough. Can you imagine going yourself to the hog pen, getting down on your knees and eating some of the same slop that the hog was feeding on? That's what this young man right here did. He received everything the Lord, that his father had for him. Everything that his father had, he gave it to him. And no doubt his father's heart was broken. But what did he do? He just did not go to the far country. He did not go and look up and see if he could maybe help a farmer there. No, what did he do? He took everything that his father had given him and he sold it. Money. And he lived it up. He went to all the honky-tonks, all the beer joints, all everything, to where he didn't have a dime left. Didn't even have a dime to where he could go and be able to sleep in a bed. Or be able to go to the restaurant there or the or bar, whatever, and get a decent meal. Spend it all. He thought his father was holding him back.
He thought his father did not love him that much. I don't know if you've ever said that or not, but I've said it in times past. And growing up when I was at home, and I'd want something, and I felt like I'd been good that week, and I'd done everything that my mother and my stepfather asked me to do that week. I thought I deserved something. But when they come up and they say, "Son, we don't have it. We don't have the extra money to spend on you. We don't have the money just to hand out to you." And when they wouldn't hand it out, then I would probably stomp out of the room and I'd go outside and I'd say, "They don't love me. They don't love me. They say they do, but they don't. Here it is. I have to do the chores around the house. I do them for one solid week. And I do what they ask me to do. But when it comes right down to it, they tell me they don't have the money." No doubt this young man had said the same thing to his father. He broke his father's heart when he went to his father and he said, "Father, I want my inheritance today. Everything that you have got that you was going to give me at your death, I want it today." His father gave it to him. You know why his father gave it to him? Because he did not want to see his son unhappy. That's the reason I believe that God's about ready to do something here at Faith Baptist Church. I believe God's about ready to do something within each and every one of our lives. Why? Because God does not want His children to be unhappy. I believe it. I'm foolish enough to believe it. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned before you. I have sinned before my brother.'" And he had compassion on him. His father had compassion on his son that went away from home. I'm going to ask you something right here. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know how many of you, if you've got children that lives out of town or not. But if you do or if you don't, but when they do go out of town, and they go out of town, they get them a job. Or like in Sister Holly's case, she's out of town in Lynchburg going to school. When she comes back home a week from now, or a month from now, are you glad to see her? If you have a child this off fulfilling their dream because of what job they wanted. And they there. And they working hard. They working hard not only for themselves, but they're working hard for their family. When they come back to home to visit. When you're in the house style and you look out the picture window, do you just say, well, here comes my son. Here comes my daughter. You don't get up or nothing. No, you get up. And the first thing you do, you'll go open the door and you'll step out on the porch and step out into the yard and welcome them home. That's what this father done. This father right here welcomed his son home. And when he welcomed him home, what did he give him? I mean, his son had already told him. He says, I just wished I could be there at home. I just wish I could be one of his servants. That's all he wanted to be, just a servant. But he was more than a servant before he went to the far country. But when he went to a far country and when he came back home, he just wanted to be a servant. Just want somebody there, just another hired help. What did his father do? His father, evidently he must have went out there at the edge of the road every week or every day and looking for his son coming down the road. He didn't see him coming today. He didn't see him coming this week. He didn't see him coming any day next week. But then he went out there one day. When he opened his eyes and when he looked down the road, he saw a figure down there walking in the middle of the road. He said, you know, I believe that may be my son. When he got a little closer, he said, yeah, there's my boy. He's coming home. My boy's coming home. And the father run to his boy. His father run to him. And when he did, he kissed him. He kissed him to welcome him home. Not only did he kiss him and welcome him home, but his father also had called for his other son to come. His father had called for his other son to come and to see his brother coming down the road. And he told his servants there, he said, son, go get the hired servant. Go get the fatted calf. Go get the very best of the fatted calf that we have. Because we're going to put on a shing-ding for my son tonight and for your brother. We're going to put on something like we've never seen before. And he did. What else did he do? He put a ring on his son's finger, which the ring represents. You'll never be broken. We need to realize some things that we do. How happy is the Lord Jesus when we just go out here and maybe we just be riding down the highway and we'll start praying. And we'll start praying for somebody. A co-worker, a friend, a family member. We just start praying for them. God says, There's my servant. My servant is doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's all we are, is servants of God. God blesses me no more than he does you. And no more than he does the individual out here. He blesses them also. Look at all the blessings that they receive. They said they receive the blessings of what? Air. Where their lungs can expand and extract. To where they can be able to breathe. God will also bless their body in the strength that he can give them. We need to pray. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to say, "Oh Lord, lead me to someone today. Lead me to someone today." And Lord, as you do, give me the words that they need to hear from you. And he will give it. Not only will he give it, but he is preparing the heart that we go to. I believe that. I honestly believe that. That he prepares the heart that we go to. How many individuals you know of that went to visit somebody and you really didn't know what kind of response that you was going to get? You didn't have no idea. But yet, you prayed for them. You just did not put it off on somebody else and say, "Well, Bill, I need for you to go in and visit this individual. Lord, sure has laid him on my heart. He needs to get saved. He needs to get in the house of God. Bill, would you go?" No doubt Bill would probably go. "Yes, I will go too." But always remember this. If the Lord, through the precious power of the Holy Spirit, puts an individual on your heart and on your mind the way you've been praying for them, don't you think the Lord would want to use you? You took time out to pray for that individual. We need to realize when we take time, when the Lord takes time out and he thinks about me and you and whom we prayed for, don't you think God can go and prepare the heart? Don't you think that God can't go and speak to the heart? Don't you think that God does not want you to go and just tell them, All you have to tell them is, you know something, the Lord has laid you on my heart. And I've been praying for you. But I couldn't just pray for you. I had to come. I had to come and tell you, I love you. I had to come and tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves you. Don't we think that God won't use that? Don't you think that God won't take that and take that to that individual and prepare that heart so when we are there, see, you know something? I've been thinking this week about my own life. I've been thinking about the life that I have here on earth. I think about my own life to where my life really means nothing. And I've tried my very best to live the right way. I've tried my very best to take care of my family. I've tried very best to do right before people. And I try my very best to help people when people are in need of help. But it's still, as long as I do that, as long as I do all of that, it's still something way down in my gut that's missing. Something way down in my gut that's missing. Yes, I go. And I'll do exactly what you asked me to do, Lord. Don't you think the Lord won't give us a piece of heaven when we go to Him? Don't you think that the Lord can't save our soul? Yep. Because see, when that was way down deep in their gut, that they are missing something, that's when I believe the Holy Spirit would get down there, way deep in their gut, and will stir it up. And will stir it up to the point to where it would just not stay and be settled right there. But it would be stirred up to the point that it gets all over you. Then the next thing you know, you say, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? It's simple. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved. And He will write your name there in heaven. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we ask, God, that You may go with us tonight. Lord, go to our respective homes. And, Father, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Speak to us in a way where You will bring up someone that needs to be saved. And, Father, that someone may need a longing to hear from You, that they have got that feeling way down in their gut that they don't know what to do about it. Father, we ask now that You'll bless the people. Go with them this week. Give them a good week. And we pray, Father, this coming Wednesday evening, Lord, that You may bring the people out. People that we haven't seen in a while. You will bring them out. Father, we want to thank You. And we want to love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.